Good morning, everyone. I've been gone for 2 weeks, and it's so good to be back here praising God and worshiping God and our church family here. I am so excited that the Christmas season is upon us. I love Christmas. And now we get to get out our Arctic winter coats now, don't we? And we get to dig out our scarves and our hats from storage. And we get to scrape the windshields in the morning. And we get to shovel snow. I'm actually not being sarcastic on that. I don't mind those things. Especially in the month of December. Some of us get to watch some of our favorite classic Christmas shows. It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Carol. And decorate the Christmas tree. And maybe even have some hot cocoa. We have a lot of habits and traditions during the Christmas season, don't we? And during the holidays in our everyday life, some of these habits and traditions are good, and some traditions are neutral, and some habits and traditions are just plain bad and harmful. There's an old saying that goes like this. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've already got. Take that in for a second. In other words, change comes from the inside out. In order to change what we do, we must change who we are in a sense. That inside change only comes from Jesus Christ. Because we can't fake change. Not long term. Change will never be complete in us without Christ reigning in our hearts. And the fact is, we all need to change. And we must be willing to change. Because the harsh reality is this. Most everyone has or has had addictions. My new definition of an addiction is this. It's using something in replacement of or placed above God. It's a coping mechanism. It's your go-to. Becomes your kingdom. It could be in the area of drugs, legal or illegal. It's much more than that. It could be alcohol, food, caffeine, work, gambling, sex, sports, shopping, streaming shows and movies, video games, social media, cleaning, exercise, appearance. And the list can go on and on and on. How do we know if we have an addiction? Well, here's a good place to start. Number one, when we cannot stop the behavior, even though there have been ramifications or consequences. Number two, we're spending much more time and money and energy than we thought we would. And number three, we have made promises to stop or quit to ourselves, to God, to our loved ones, and yet we still do it anyway. If we are doing any of these things, we most likely have an addiction. And I know most of us don't like the term addiction. I don't. And by using that word addiction, I'm not trying to be harsh. And it's not an excuse for harmful actions or behaviors. But the problem of addiction is so serious because it affects the whole being of who we are. It affects us physically, mentally, emotionally, socially. And most important, addictions affect us spiritually. Addictions destroy. And if that was all there was, that it just affected the person, that'd be bad enough. But it doesn't just stop there. Addictions affect everyone around that person. Anyone associated with that person gets affected. Many times, we continue to do our addictions despite the warnings and the consequences. So let's dive into that deeper this morning. Let's turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. If you need a Bible, there's one at the bottom of your seat in front of you, most likely. Or you can turn there on your smartphone. Ephesians 5. As you're turning there, let me give you a quick little overview. The Apostle Paul is giving us a warning, and he tells us over and over again that we are in Christ. That we are to live for Christ. We're to walk for Christ. We're to stay away from bad habits and sin and addictions for Christ. And Paul says we are to actually change and leave our former way of living, of coping and self-medicating. And instead, we are to actually put on Jesus Christ. We are to wrap ourselves around Christ like the very clothing we wear, like the garments we wear. Paul uses that analogy over and over again. Because we are not clothed in our own works. We're not justified in our own works. We're not clothed in our own skill or talent or self-discipline or resources. We're not clothed in our own understanding or in our own clever intellect or in our own self-effort. Try as we may, we do not have the ability to be truly good on our own. If we've heard that worldly wisdom somewhere, that most people are basically good, that's a lie. We don't have that in our own pockets. Rather, Paul says over and over here again that we are to be clothed in Christ. Our position is Christ. We are found, we are sustained, we thrive, we can have victory in Christ. So we are to take our former dysfunctions or our current dysfunctions out of our lives and remove it. Why? Because Paul says it's not to be associated with a Christian any longer. So Ephesians 5, starting with verse 1. Says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk, or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. We see how there's two contrasts being made here. Paul's making two contrasts. We have two kingdoms. We have the kingdom of God on one side, and then we have what I'll call the kingdom of addiction. And we all have the opportunity to choose which one we're going to live in. Not only this Christmas season, but every single day of the year. It starts off here in verse 1. It says we are to be imitators of God. Do we realize we cannot be imitators unless Christ is in us already? Christianity is not mimicking. We're not like parrots. This is not going out and buying a WWJD, what would Jesus do, bracelet, putting it on our wrist and calling it good. And then whenever we get in a tough situation, we just look at our wrist and try to mimic Christ. Christianity is being filled with the life of Christ on the inside. And then our actions and our words and our behaviors flow out of that. This is never us WWJD-ing it. That's not the gospel. That's not the New Testament. Well, what's the New Testament? The New Testament is that Christ is living inside of us now. Jesus lives in our heart via the Holy Spirit. We have Christ dwelling in us. That is Christianity. That's the gospel. And Paul says, as Christians, we're to live in that type of habit, that type of tradition. We are to live in God's spiritual kingdom. But we also have a complete contrast here in the passage of a whole different type of kingdom. It's a kingdom of addiction. It's a kingdom of self. And Paul says we're not even to have a hint of that in our life. Not a hint. No immorality, no impurity, no greed, no idolatry, no filthy talking. Basically, no addictions. So that doesn't mean 80% of our life should be clean, but the other 20%, woohoo, Saturday night, here I come. No, this means every amount, every impurity should be removed from our life. So think about it. If the activities or the habits we are involved in even has an ounce of impurity in them, it shouldn't be there. Because it's going to affect the whole thing. It's going to affect the whole being. So can we imagine what it would be like to not have any type of an addiction in our life? Can you imagine the freedom to live like that? To be set free from the junk of this world and to be set free in Christ? I'm convinced in this room we all want that. But how often do some of us find ourselves crawling back to those old habits, those old ways, those old traditions at times based on circumstances? Here's a question. Which kingdom marks our life? Because we are going to be known by one of these kingdoms. Are we in the kingdom of God? Or are we in the kingdom of addiction? When our lives and souls are not harnessed by Christ, we will live in the kingdom of addiction. We won't have to be going out looking, actively looking for the addiction. We don't even have to want to go after it. It's just going to naturally be there. Why? Because that's our old flesh self. It's the default page that as humans we go back to. And it doesn't take long to look around the world and realize that addiction is the place we go after because it's our nature. It's our flesh nature, our old flesh nature. It's a reality for us when we're not in Christ. Much of the world is wrapped up in addictions. Our culture today oftentimes celebrates addictions and makes light of them. Our culture twists and distorts what's good and makes it bad. And then it teaches and justifies that it's really not that big a deal. We can barely watch any movie or television show without the celebration of this twisted pervertedness. For too many of us, our minds have been polluted. Paul here in Ephesians 5 says, it shouldn't be named in any of us. By the way, let me pause for a second here. That does not mean we do not talk about it or that we don't get help on it. That we just have it in our life, but we keep it a secret and not mention it to anybody. That's not what it's saying here. What it is saying is that if every part of our inner being was tested and examined, that addictions would not be named in our life. But let me remind us all of something. Do we realize that in our natural self, our flesh self, we all have addictions? We all have that. We would all have raging addictions. Many, various ones. So how on earth are we going to live a life where that's not named? Because you could go back into my past and that's named. All sorts of open and hidden addictions I had. So how am I going to live a life now where that's not part of me? The only way is Christ. The only way is Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 17 nails it dead on. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5. It says, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. The mental picture I get here is Christ has drawn a line and he brings us over on his side. And when that happens, there's a huge change in us. Not just in our behaviors or our words, but actually in our very nature. We are a new creation, it says. Isn't that amazing? We need to realize that. I am not what I once was. You are not what you once were. We may look the same, we may talk the same, but Scripture says we're not the same any longer. What used to define us no longer has to define us. What used to be the normal tradition and habit for us, what we were known by, does not have to be any longer. Chains can be broken. And realize this is one step at a time. This is a fight that Christ fights through us. So we can live in that freedom that Christ gives us. And we do that because of the sacrifice he's given to us. So which king defines your life? Is it God? Or is it the world? Is it the enemy? My life is to be known by the kingdom of God. My life is to be marked by the life of Christ. Because I am a Christian, I am to be known by Christ's name, not my name. And please realize, I'm not just talking about Christ's name here. I'm really talking about Christ's attributes, His character, His attitudes, His nature, His heart. Christ's love should be flowing through me. Speaking of names, do we know what name we are called in Scripture? We're called saints. If we live in Christ, and if Christ lives inside of our hearts, Scripture refers to these people as the holy ones. The holy ones means saints. In other words, Christ's saints are not to be like the world. We're not to have the habits of the world. We are not to have the harmful traditions of the world. So if the world thinks this way, well, then we are to think this other way. If the world has this mindset that I see around me, well, then we are to have this other mindset. Christ has freed us from this kingdom of addiction so that we can live in the kingdom of God. And remember, our true home is not in this world. Our true home is in heaven with Christ. And yes, there are very bad things that happen in this world. And yes, there is a tremendous amount of suffering and pain and sadness and temptation on this earth. But believers know that the promise is that, listen to this, the kingdom of God lives in our hearts right now. And then we also have that promise waiting for us in eternity. And that's a place far greater than any one of us can imagine. The things that the kingdom of addiction lives for, they will be taken away from you in a snap of a finger. They will not last. They never last. They never satisfy. Because we live for Christ, we're not supposed to continue to try to fit in with this culture so much. More and more in our world today, even the mention of living in God's purity and God's ways as described in Scripture, it's laughable to the world. It's mocked. Sadly, the world doesn't think it's possible anymore. And that's crept into the church as well. And because of that, much of the culture is changing its standards on sin and addiction, and it's rewriting and it's reframing the Bible. We are living in a time when it is presumed and accepted that we need some type of drugs or alcohol or caffeine to function properly and have a good time. We're living in a time when it's normal. It's almost a little bit of a lighthearted joke to overdo shopping and sports and sex and food and our physical appearance. We live in a time when it's normal to binge watch and listen or watch questionable and inappropriate shows and music. But then we look at Ephesians 5, and we see Paul here talking to the believers in Ephesus, telling them to stand firm, to not back down, to hold their position in Christ. The culture in Ephesus back at that time, things were out of control. Much like we see sometimes in our time right now. And Paul was commissioning the early believers to do this, and he was saying, it is possible right now to completely live in Christ, and it's possible not to conform to the world around you. It's possible. He told them that. And we are commissioned to do the same thing today. If we look at the reality of these two kingdoms here, talked about in Ephesians 5, we see that there is a huge disconnect, a huge gulf between both of them. But there are some realities that both of these kingdoms share. Here's the first one. This concept of total immersion. I believe we're going to be consumed with one of these kingdoms. It can't be both. There's no straddling the fence here. Either we're going to surrender daily to Christ, and He's going to transform us and sanctify us one step at a time and walk us through that journey, or we're just going to stay in darkness. And we're going to justify it, and we're going to procrastinate on it, and we're going to isolate on it, and we're just going to give in to the addiction. Now remember, being in the kingdom of God does not mean that we are perfect, and it doesn't mean that we're not going to be tempted. But it does mean that we allow the Holy Spirit to correct our soul and guide us back to the way each and every day. We allow Christ to align us into His kingdom one day at a time. So there's a total immersion in the kingdom. We're either all in one or we're going to be in the other. The second reality of these kingdoms is this concept of bearing fruit. Whatever kingdom we're in, we will produce the fruit of that kingdom. What's coming out of our life? What are we bearing on a consistent basis? What are we like in private? Is it the same as how we are when we're in front of people? Because whatever's on the inside is going to come forth on the outside. Whichever kingdom we are in, that's the fruit we're going to produce. Listen to Galatians 5, starting with verse 19. It says, now the deeds, or we can say the fruit, of the flesh are evident. So here's the fruits of the flesh. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. So it's not a comprehensive list. There's more. Of which I forewarn you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then it continues with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. There's no downside to that. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, then let us walk by the Spirit. So which fruit is consistently coming out of our life? Is the kingdom of addiction coming out from the inside? Or is the kingdom of God pouring out? Because the real concern, the heart of the matter, the root here, it's not the outside. Everyone is so concerned with the outside. It's more important on what's on the inside. What's in your heart? Finally, the third reality of these kingdoms is the reflection of that king. Who are you reflecting? We live in a world that's full of darkness, and we need people of light. We need people of light, not people of shadows. We need people who are shining the light and not casting a shadow. So none of this is meant to shame or guilt. But I do pray that Christ puts an anguish on our soul to go to Him privately with this and to reflect and have Christ show us where we're really at. Which king are we reflecting with our life? Which kingdom do we really stand for? God's kingdom or the enemy's kingdom? We are called to live for the kingdom of God. It is possible. It is possible through Christ. One step at a time. Christ fighting that fight through us to accomplish that. Which kingdom are you living in this Christmas season? Addiction or God? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you do not just let us stay where we're at with our harmful tendencies to ourselves. Lord, you want to take us deeper and deeper. Lord, you lovingly continue to come at us with this kind of thing. We are supposed to be changed. And it's not a one-time change, Lord. It's a daily change. We need to revisit this daily and speak that into our heart and our soul daily and ask you, Lord, to come forth through us daily. Because, Lord, our natural default page, our flesh, will want to go back to that stuff. Or it will even seek new things in that realm. Lord, we don't want that. So Lord, let us slow down, especially this busy season, and let us take time each and every day, Lord, just surrendering to you and you showing us where we're at. And Lord, let us not just esteem your ways, but Lord, come through us to be able to accomplish that through us. Lord, so we can feel that change, and so others can see that change in us, and we can humbly point right back to you. Let us not get weary of doing that. Not only this Christmas season, but each and every day. Lord, I pray you do give us an anguish in our hearts and our soul right now to come to you with this. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace and your forgiveness for each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.